Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. What a great win by the Houston Astros yesterday, and we just want to talk a little bit about that today. It was great to beat the New York Yankees and just to see how far this team has come since going 52 and 111 and losing over 100 games several years in a row to building a franchise that has really invigorated a city that has needed it in Houston. And what a great series they had against the Red Sox as well. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're still feeling the effects of it and just really reveling in that to be able to go to the World Series and to beat the Red Sox and then to beat the Yankees in a seven-game series. And I just really appreciate these guys, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, just the whole group, and a young group, but a group that has been just invigorated by bringing Justin Verlander in and being able to make a late season trade for him, and what a ace he has been for them, and he's given them additional confidence as well. And we're hoping here in Houston that Jose Altuve will win the league MVP as well, but he definitely has been our MVP. And it takes me back to 2005 when I got a chance to invest in a group of the Houston Astros, somewhat similar to this group. They were a little bit older, but had some younger guys as well that we were investing in during that time, and co-leading a Bible study with them, as well as investing in some of the things that we've taught around moments and being prepared for big moments. And it was a great time when we went to the World Series back in 2005 and being able to start meeting with them when they were 15 and 30 in June and had no hopes of going to the World Series, to by the end of the season going to the World Series and winning the division championship and the league championship as well. So really excited about the Houston Astros here in Houston, and I want to talk about three key points that I think we can learn, especially from the series that they had with the New York Yankees. We won the first two games and looked like we were in command, and then we had to go to New York for the middle three games, and that's where hope is kind of lost. It's a tough place to play in Yankee Stadium, and this New York team is a really good group. They're going to be good in the future as well, and they've got some great young hitters, and it seemed like we had lost hope, and we had some games there where we just didn't score any runs, and our offense looked anemic, and we didn't look like ourselves, and we got down 3-2, and if you listen to the national media, it sounded like it was going to be Yankees-Dodgers in the World Series this year, and that we had no hope, but we held out hope and came back, won in Game 6 again with Justin Verlander leading the charge for us, and then going to an epic Game 7 where anything could happen, and had that victory, and it was just great to see that on Saturday night and to see these guys come together and just step up in a big moment. And I was really happy for Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers, who were the number 3 and number 4 pitcher on the staff, combining to win the game and not having to use a reliever. And it was an unusual Game 7 from that perspective, but they wanted the ball and wanted to make up for the games in which they started off, didn't really cause the losses that we had, but wanted to rebound from those and really just avenge those losses. And together, those two combined for a great, great performance, along with all the other players, to really get our offense going. And so now it's on to the World Series. But I think there's three things that we can really learn from this series, and having the ups and downs of a series, having to play in a Game 7 and being able to step up in a big moment, that we can apply in sports and definitely see the principles in sports, but also in any area of life. And so I want to talk about those today on this podcast, as we here in Houston enjoy the moment before we have to go to L.A. and play the Dodgers in the World Series and hopefully win that. The first thing I think that we can learn is a principle that we have in sports performance and sports psychology, and it's really a life performance type principle as well, that what you choose to focus on magnifies in size. What you choose to focus on magnifies in size. And I think if you think about application for the Astros, they were down 3-2, had just come off some not so good moments in New York, and they could have chosen to focus on that. And when we choose to focus on something, it magnifies in size, meaning it gets bigger and bigger. We often talk about this with golfers that we work with, and if they focus on the sand or the sand trap that's right in front of them or right in front of the hole, that thing can get bigger and bigger in their mind if that's all they're focusing on, and it can get big as a beach in Galveston or in Destin if by the time they're through with it, because all they're focused on is that. And even when we do it in a way that we say, well, we just want to avoid the sand, or we want to avoid, you know, that trap over there, or we don't want to think about fear, or we don't want to think about pressure, we don't hear the don't, or, you know, I want to avoid that. We hear or see what is right in front of us very big or very loudly. And so the worst thing, for instance, in football, a coach can say to a running back is don't fumble, because they hear fumble really loudly and they hear don't very softly. And with the going back to the Astros, I think that, you know, they could have thought about those three losses. They could have thought about how come I can't hit. Some of the players were obviously pressing because they had, you know, gone 0-19, 0-20, and just hadn't gotten a hit in that many at bats. And the more they focused on that, and more they focused on the whys of why can't I hit and why is this happening, the more that it became a bigger thing in their lives. And I think when they chose to come back to Houston, they focused on the positive things, and you could see it. They had smiles on their faces. They were glad to be back home. They had a great pitcher that was going to be pitching and leading them out that night, a veteran who had been in positions like this before. And they chose to focus on things that were going to help them versus things that were going to hurt them. And that propelled them in Game 6 to have a great game. They won Game 6, and by the end of that game in the eighth inning, they had an outburst of runs and ended up winning that game 7-1. And that momentum carried over, I believe, into Game 7, where, again, they scored 4 runs, played great defense, and the pitchers stepped up, and they blanked the New York Yankees, not allowing them to score a run, and so they won 4-0 in Game 7. And they were choosing to focus on the things that were going to help them win those games and to perform at their best. And it's important to note that in any aspect of life that we have a choice about what we choose to focus on. And we can focus on fear. We can focus on what might happen that would be a bad thing. We can focus on what if we fail. A lot of times when we'll ask audiences that we're speaking to or groups that we're talking to as well, we'll say, you know, complete this sentence. What if I, and we'll ask them to complete that phrase. And a lot of times the first response is something negative. You know, what if I fail? What if I don't bring this project on time? What if my kids aren't successful? What if I'm a bad parent? Again, a lot of what ifs, and the way our mind goes, even if we're a very optimistic person, it can go negative on us. But also, people can think of it in a positive way. What if I succeed? What if my kids are successful? What if I do bring this project in on time? What if I make a meaningful impact with my life? Those are all positive things that lead towards those things getting bigger in our lives. And it doesn't guarantee success, but again, what we choose to focus on is going to get bigger in size, and we have a choice in that. And so we need to make the right choices in our lives about focusing on the things that are going to help us be successful. And for a lot of the hitters that were pressing and trying to strive, they just focused on things of getting their hands in front of the ball and seeing the ball and being patient at the plate and working on getting a shorter swing instead of trying to kill everything, just going with the pitch and being able to get hits and get on base and then cause something positive to happen instead of trying to make things happen and trying to fear what wasn't happening. And those are the things that got bigger and bigger for them. And again, we have a choice in that. And so I just want to encourage you in that, just with yourself, to make sure that you're choosing to focus on the right things. And also as a leader, that you help others focus on the right things as well. Because again, what we choose to focus on magnifies in size. And if we choose to focus on the wrong things, it's going to cause us not to have the success that we need and the impact that we want and to be able to achieve the goals that we're striving to achieve. I think the second thing that we saw in this series is that they had an I will mindset. So in looking at the Houston Astros, they still believed, they trusted, and that has to come from an authentic place. We can't base that on inauthentic things or just having this kind of fluffy, I believe, kind of mindset. It has to be an I will mindset based on facts and based on things that you trust and believe will happen, because then it has a foundation that's secure in allowing us to achieve our goals. When we've worked with baseball players before, and when we worked a lot with the Astros team in 2005 and 6 and 07, and the work we've done with other baseball players at different levels, we talk about this volition scale. And volition is just a big word for your will or desire to do something. And we have this scale of, if somebody asks you to do something or you're trying to achieve something, in your mind, you can have this continuum of volition around the choices of I won't, I can't, I'll try, I can, and I will. I won't, I can't, I'll try, I can, and I will. And I think we'd all agree that I will is the best part of that continuum, and I won't is the worst. But that middle section of I'll try can be a vicious cycle for us. And in fact, sometimes it can be worse than I won't, because at least with I won't and I won't mindset, you have some determination there that if you can channel that in the right way and channel that in a positive way, it's easier sometimes to turn an I won't mindset and a person who is like that to get that determination focused in the right way to an I will mindset. But somebody who gets into that vicious cycle of I'll try, and it's kind of, you know, just from a negative standpoint, they're shrugging their shoulders and you're asking them to do something, or they're wanting to try to achieve something, and they just go at it with just an I'll try kind of mindset, and they get into a vicious cycle because they never fully commit to the things that it's going to take to accomplish that goal or to impact that outcome or to encourage that person to lead in the right way. So having an I will mindset is very important. And with the work that we've done with baseball players, we get them to try to focus on having that I will mindset, because you cannot go up to the batter's box and try to hit a 95, 97, 100 mile an hour fastball with an I'll try mindset. You have to have an I will mindset for every pitch. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get a hit every time. Think Altuve's batting average this year was very good. It was around 340 or 350 as far as an average over the course of the season, and he had the best batting average of anybody in the major leagues this past year. But that still meant that he was not getting a hit six or seven times every at bat, or for every 10 at bats that he had. So he was failing six out of seven times, and then three of those times he would be getting a hit. And so the point is that he had to deal with failure. And that's the thing that I've heard over and over from baseball players over the years, is they have to deal with failure all the time. But every time they step up, they have an I will mindset that they're going to get a hit. And when they don't get a hit, or they don't drive in the runs, or they strike out, they go back the very next time and say, I will get a hit this time, or I will make a play in the field. And we can't back off of that when we're thinking about the application in our own lives. We can't have an I will mindset, and then when it doesn't work out, or we have a setback, or we don't achieve our goal immediately, to back off of that and say, well, I'm just going to try tomorrow, because having an I will mindset was too painful and it didn't work. And so I'm just going to back off and I'll try. And if it doesn't happen, then I won't be hurt with the consequences. But we also won't be rewarded with the impact that we have if we are able to succeed. And we don't have the full commitment and trust that it takes to lead in the right way and to achieve our goals. And so having an I will mindset is basically focusing on doing everything you can and giving 100% and giving your best in every situation, no matter what the outcome is and no matter what the circumstances are. and learning from the moments of failure or the moments of setback where we don't build momentum in our lives, but we can learn from that to be able to redo it the next day or to do it differently in a different situation and have a better outcome. And so we have to focus on having an I will mindset that's not based on circumstances, but it's based on a firm foundation of facts and truth in our life, and dedicating to being the best version of ourselves that we can to have the most impact, whether it's in goal achievement or, you know, just being a great parent or being a great leader or just committing to encourage someone and setting an example for somebody as well. And the Astros definitely had that against the Yankees. They had to come back, you know, at Game 6 and Game 7 having an I will mindset and not just saying, well, we'll try, but, you know, we're not sure if we're going to win because it didn't work out in New York for 3 days. They focused on the right things. They focused on the game before them, and they had an I will mindset to accomplish what they needed to accomplish. And then the third thing I think that we can learn, and again, it's something that we teach our athletes from the Houston Astros series, we can learn from this, is being process-focused. So being process-focused. And this is one of the major things that we teach a lot of our athletes and the people that we coach and work with is a lot of times we have this continuum that we draw, and there are three words that we focus on. And we ask, which word do they like better? Worry, focus, or obsess? And it's interesting. They think it's a trick question, or they think, well, they think about what they're doing, and what they really want to do is focus on that middle piece of focus, but they think about, well, I'm obsessing, and I don't want to obsess. But usually focus is the best word. That's what we get group agreement on, and when we think about those three words of worry, focus, and obsess. And underneath that continuum, we write the word circumstances. So worry about circumstances. And then we, in the middle section, it's focus on the process. And then on the right side of the continuum, or on the page of paper when I'm doing this one-on-one and coaching an athlete, is obsessing about outcomes. Worrying about circumstances, focusing on the process, and obsessing about outcomes. And what happens is we leave out that middle piece, and we either worry about circumstances or we obsess about outcomes. And so worrying about the circumstances, if the Astros had stayed in that kind of same mindset or the defeatist mindset, they would have been worrying about the circumstances. Hey, we had a 2-0 lead. We lost it. We lost 3 straight games in New York, and they're really good, and they have the momentum, and we're down 3-2, and how did we get here? And just worrying about those circumstances. They could have chosen to do that. And I know a lot of fans in Houston and a lot of Yankee fans were, you know, thinking, well, they're going to be down because they're worrying about the circumstances. And if our mind's not worrying about circumstances, sometimes we jump to the other side of obsessing about outcomes. And there's a fine line that we've learned in coaching athletes and coaching people between determination and desperation. And desperation can be a very negative word because it gets us to tighten up, and we get to a mindset of just obsessing about the outcome to the point of we're desperate and we do unnatural things. We don't do the natural things of being loose and fierce and free to accomplish the outcomes that we want. And so we get desperate. We obsess about it. We have got to get a hit. And it's something like that going into the batter's box, or, you know, I've just got to do well on this test or this presentation. And like I said, there's a healthy determination that we can have about that. But when it gets to a desperate state, and when it gets to a true obsessive state about that in a negative way, it causes us to do unnatural things, and we're not in a loose state to be able to be free to do the things of playing our best game or doing our best in a presentation or being the best version of ourselves every day. And so we don't want to jump back and forth between worrying about circumstances or obsessing about outcomes. We need to remember and focus on that middle piece, which is focusing on the process. And when we do that, there's an arrow I usually draw on focusing on the process and then a right arrow over to outcomes. We have to focus on the process to get to the outcomes that we want. And that's really the key. If we want to achieve those outcomes and we have a determined mindset and an I will mindset around that, When we become process-focused, we focus on the right things to achieve that outcome. And so, and again, I'll go back to using a golfing example. When I've worked with golfers, they know what score is going to win the day at the end of a tournament, you know, whether it be at the high school, college, or professional level. And they could, you know, articulate that and have an educated conversation about that as well. But they can't go through a round of 18 holes or 36 holes or however many they're going to play that day or in the tournament and just think 71, 71, 71. And I know many of you listening to this would love to have a 71 in your golf game, but they can't just obsess about what that number is. We get them not to obsess about that outcome, but if they want to shoot a 71, which is the outcome, be process focused. And what that looks like is having a great pre-shot routine, carrying a great trigger phrase or mental thought into the swing, thinking about the strategy that you want to do on a certain hole, playing shot to shot and being present in that moment. And again, not fast forwarding to the next shot or what if I'm, you know, going to the sand and future thoughts that are not good, or worrying about, you know, why you shot a double bogey on the hole before. But it's being present in the moment and being process focused and doing things that lead to taking a great shot. When I've coached a lot of the basketball teams that I coach, and when I played, being process focused was maybe at the free throw line on a pressure free throw. It was dribbling the ball the same way that I always dribbled it, you know, three times, and then take another dribble and then bend my knees and follow through. Those are all process-oriented things that would usually result in a made free throw, which would impact the game in a positive way. So being process-focused is very important. And again, for the Astros, I think what I saw is that they, you know, got into a place where they got back to their routine, being at home and getting to the ballpark and getting into a familiar routine and doing the things that they needed to do. And baseball players are very meticulous about routine and about the things they do. Some people would say it borders on being superstitious, but I think it's just more about just doing the same things that you do that get you comfortable and in a good spot. And that's why when you see a guy in a batter's box, he'll maybe redo his gloves every time or adjust his helmet every time in between pitches. And that's just his pre-bat routine. And then sometimes there's a visualization. Sometimes there's a trigger thought that they carry into that at bat right before they step up and get ready to hit. But it's those are the things that lead to a successful outcome. And I think in your own life, whatever your role might be, it's focusing on process-oriented things that will help you. If you've got a big presentation coming up, it's not, you know, obsessing about, well, I hope it goes well, or it's got to go well, or I'm going to get fired, or my boss isn't going to be happy. It's preparing. It's researching what you're going to be talking about. It's coming up with great stories that you're going to lead to a great talk. It's thinking about your audience and what are the key needs that they have. It's preparing for, you know, the points in the application that you want them to carry forward from that talk. Those are all process-oriented things that will lead to the result or the outcome that you want. And so I think it's very important that when you think about that is to make sure that we focus on those things, because those are the things that we're going to have the most impact on. At the end of the day, we can't control an outcome, but we can influence an outcome that we want by making the right choices and achieving those daily wins from a process perspective that lead towards the outcome that we want. And clearly that was what the Astros were focused on when they came back to Houston and getting more into a rhythm of those things that were going to lead towards basically winning the American League Championship Series and going on to the World Series. And it was just, again, playing pitch by pitch, hit by hit, and inning by inning to get to where they wanted to go. So again, even if you're not an Astros fan, I hope you will be cheering for us in the World Series. But more than that, too, I hope that you can learn from these three points. These are principles that we teach our athletes, that we coach, and the teams that I've been fortunate enough to work with. And they work. And I think that we have to apply them in our own lives. can seem somewhat simple, but they're complex in the way that, and sometimes difficult in the way that we have to apply them, because we get so focused on and distracted by circumstances and setbacks that we don't redirect our attention to the things that are going to help us push past those setbacks and achieve the goals that we want. So again, these three things: what you choose to focus on magnifies in size. Remember that, and remember that you need to choose to focus on things that are going to help you and not hurt you. The second thing, have an I will mindset. Every day, go into the day and saying, I will do my best. I will trust my shot. I will trust my instincts. And have an I will mindset to be the best version of yourself. I feel like, you know, God's given us a day every day for us to make an impact. And sometimes it might just be going out and saying, I will make a contribution, or I will do meaningful work today, or I will make a positive impact on others, and being grateful for that. And when we're grateful for that, we can have a more determined mindset versus an I'll try mindset or an I won't mindset, which we have a choice in doing as well. And then the third thing, being process focused. And again, process focus, focusing on the process to get to the outcomes that we want. And I think that if you'll apply these three things in your life with the right goals and the right action plan, that you can get to the things that you want to achieve and help to fulfill your calling and to make a true impact with your life and to make your life count for what matters most.